Today, you know, we try to teach you, Tony is so good, Pastor Tony is so good about this, but, you know, we want you to see Jesus in the Word. And that's one of the things the Holy Spirit loves to do is to show us Jesus in the Word. And so great things happen when you see Jesus in the Word. Well, I got to tell you, I'm just confessing to you, because the Lord's given us an imagination room, and that's where He implants hope to us. But I'll tell you, I was reading some scripture just this past week while we were gone, and I saw T.D. in the Word. I saw T.D. Hall in the Word. You want to see it? It's Proverbs 20, verse 7. T.D. Hall. Well, it doesn't say that in my version, but it's a picture I got. The righteous man, somebody say T.D. Hall. I want to tell you something. Because of what Jesus did, every dad out here is a righteous man in Jesus. When you receive him, we get his rightness. The righteous man who walks in integrity and lives life in accord with his godly beliefs, how blessed, happy, and spiritually secure are his children after him, who have his example to follow. I love this because, and I can't say this about everybody. I can say it about a lot of you. I can't say this everywhere we go, but I can say this today for sure. T.D. Hall, and that's what this scripture is saying, doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. And I want to tell you, I love to refer to him. This is an affectionate term, by the way. Sometimes people misunderstand I'm trying to, you know, mess too much. But this is an affectionate term. T.D., I call him Touchdown Hall. And I want to tell you, he is that in the kingdom. And he has scored a lot of touchdowns for Jesus. He's won a lot of games for Jesus. He's had championship seasons for Jesus. And I want to tell you, we believe in honoring the generals in the Lord. And he's a general in the Lord. And you know, it's with great honor today that we get to hear from a general in the Lord, a dad in the Lord, a great coach. Right, David? Great coach. And he's still coaching. And in the early days of the NFL, and I'm going to ask James, if you will, bring help TD up here. And it's not that T.D. needs a lot of help. James is his bodyguard that we've assigned to him today. And he is available for autographs afterwards because he is all that and more. But in the early days of the NFL, Tom Landry, those guys started out, not only were they players, but they were player coaches. It's a great honor that we get in the kingdom, that we get to play the game of life through the champion of Jesus, but we also get to coach some. What an honor that is. And I love to say this about TD. He's still scoring touchdowns for Jesus, and he's a coach in the Lord, but he's playing the game of life with a championship season. Can we thank the Lord? We're going to present TD the game ball today, the championship season. TD is my honor.
Yeah.
Thank you. I love you.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know where you want the football. If you want me to take it down for right now, I will, but.
Yeah, hold it for me.
All right. I'm going to hold it for you. Okay. We thank the Lord for TD Hall. Can we give the Lord a thank you again?
I want to find out how many fathers we got here. Would you just lift your hand if you're fathers? Oh, yeah, look there. And there's one of the newest ones right there. And two grandfathers, right? All right. How many wives we got here? Oh, okay. I want y'all to know today, I am going to speak to the women too. Okay? While I'm talking to the men, you're going to say, amen, amen. Yeah. Yeah, I want you to get with me on that. And how many grandsons we got here? Grandsons. Well, yeah, come on. All right. Okay. All right, I'm proud of all of you. And you women too, of course you know that. But today, I sometimes cut up a little bit when I first get up, but I'm not going to do that today. I got too much on my mind. But I sure do appreciate this church, and I appreciate these two pastors. I feel like we're kind of greedy to have two this good. Yeah. But we're getting ready for all of the future he's got for us. Amen. I'm going to talk to you today from Colossians, the first chapter. And the title of my message is, Spiritually Mature Men Make a Difference. Did you hear that? I didn't say mature man. I said spiritually mature men make a difference. Could I tell you the difference it's made in my life? I grew up on a farm. Never dreamed of being a preacher. But here I am. Yeah. Been at it a while. And I wouldn't swap places with anybody in the world. Somebody says if you're doing what you love, you never work a day in your life. I hadn't worked in years. But I sure have been serious about the gospel. And I just want to mention some people that has meant a lot to me. For instance, there was a guy by the name of Jimmy Jeffries. He was All-American football player at Baylor. He got out of Baylor, started selling insurance and preaching. He was an insurance salesman, but my, what a Christian he was. I found out later that he had driven Bobby Bowden around when Bobby was just associate coach at Florida State. Bob Bowden was a very good friend of mine. I used to take him with me, revivals with me. And he was coaching at Samford then. I mean, it was Howard then, but it's Samford University now. But Bobby was a student and a coach at the same time. And he'd go with me on revivals. And that's when they'd have you in to eat on Sunday. And Monday, you know, revival all week, you get in a lot of homes that way. And he'd go with me, and he liked to eat that Southern food.
Yeah.
Well, Bobby was a dear friend of mine all those years. In fact, I called him, I think, a day before he died. They told me he was on the last leg. That means you're about to kick the bucket, you know. And I called him and said to his wife, I know he can't talk, but she said, well, let me check. I like a wife like that. She said, let me check. And he said, yeah, I want to talk to him. But anyway, Bobby Bowden, It meant a lot to me. I'm trying to let you know there's some people who are not preachers.
Yeah.
Who have changed their lives.
There you go.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's not a man in here that can't be. So I want you to know these guys. There's a guy by the name of L. Olin Hill. He didn't get saved till he was in his late 40s or 50s. He died when he was in his 60s. Won more souls to Jesus than any one man I ever know. And I got to be with him when he won a lot of them. I mean, he made me a better soul winner. I never did try to do it like him. But I loved him. I preached at his funeral. Wonderful man of God. One of his adopted sons, kindly, was Wayne Lee. He's still alive. A couple of months, well, 3 or 4 months ago, he had a brain cancer. He really thought he was gone. He went to MD Anderson, and he's doing well now.
Amen.
He came to my house not too long ago, and he wanted me to tell him all the stories about Brother O'Neill's witnessing. He's writing a book on M.L. O'Neill.
All right.
He's been a blessing to me. Well, we could go on and on, but let me tell you some of those I met in crusades. Bill Durr over in Jackson, Mississippi. One layman stirred up the whole area to have a crusade, and many, many hundreds were saved.
Amen.
In that crusade. And he's a layman selling computers. That's before AI come along, of course. But anyway, he's been teaching Sunday school class ever since. And they'll start off about 10 or 12, and they finally have to wind up with a room, a whole 100. But he's a tremendous layman. I love him. Bill really is a good example of what a layman can be. And there's Bill James. Y'all remember Bill? He used to come here when he could. He's not as old as I am, but he's almost. He's up there close. And he'd be here today if he could drive. I mean, he is a great guy. He's meant a lot to me. He was my chairman of deacons. Most optimistic deacon I ever had. He was a good one. I can't say too much about all of them. Tom Gilmore. Tom Gilmore built our church. He was a contractor, built churches and hospitals and Tarrant County College and things like that. And he had a sixth grade education.
How about that?
And he would, he'd get all the subcontractors in, and whatever they charged us, that's all he ever charged us. He wouldn't say much in the deacons' meetings. He'd just listen. And when everybody was discussing what to do, he let them discuss a while, and then he said, well, let me tell you what I think. And he'd tell you what he thought, And that was the end of it. Okay, that sounds good to me. Well, you just need a few like that, don't you?
Yeah.
I love Bill James. Well, I could do the same thing about Buddy Fitzgerald. He's over in Georgia. He started a new church right after coming to James Robinson Crusade. I mean, James Robinson Bible Study. I could go on and on. And then I could start in this church and show you a lot of men who are being real influences. They make a difference. I'm telling you, they make a difference. You can make a difference.
Yes.
I challenge you today to go out of here and make a difference in this world. I think about the preachers that have been in my life. People like Jack Taylor and Peter Lord and Manly Beasley, Dudley Hall, Doug White, Jim Hilton. I can't get through. There's so many. I mean, they've influenced my life. And they're still influencing.
There you go. Come on.
So, just know that I've been blessed. I think about I got to stop somewhere. And all the deacons here, I'm so proud of them. They doing a good job as deacons. I hope y'all know that. I could name every one of them, but I won't try to do that. They're doing what elders need to do. Amen. And I'm proud of them. We got staff members here doing a great job. So just be assured of that to start with. Now I'm going to go to scripture. Is that okay? It's good for the preacher to go to scriptures every once in a while. So I might as well start the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He said, I don't want any of you thinking I call myself. Said he blinded me. He had Ananias pray over me and said I was an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul said, I'm an apostle. Jesus told me I was. And Timothy, our brother, Paul was so unselfish, he wanted to give anybody that was with him credit for helping him write the letters. Well, I got a feeling he did the most of the writing, don't you? Yeah. But he put Timothy in there with him. And to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. You know, when I'm coaching guys, I ask them, what is a saint? Well, it's, you know, and they got all kind of answers. I said, a saint is a person born again.
Yeah.
They done been sanctified.
That's right.
In Christ. And they have an identity. I'm a child of God. Like John the Apostle, who said, we are in in Christ, and we are now able to call ourselves children of God. Paul said, wait a minute, I think I messed up there. That's what we are. We're not just called children of God. We are God's child. Isn't that good? Well, say amen now. All right, it says, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ, or Colossae. He didn't say anything about the faithful women, but he had y'all in there. Do y'all remember saying, I do, to being one? Well, don't get over it, see? You're right there in there. So he's just moving on here. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Isn't that sweet? Yes. We always give thanks to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. Yes. Who do you pray for every day? And you can tell them that. I pray for you. Here's how I do it. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, and because the hope hid up for you in heaven. One translation says, for the love, for the hope that spurs you on. Do you have hope? Are you optimistic? Are you looking forward to the future? Okay. You and Paul are on the same line. He says, that hope. Did you know that's one thing I check up on the ones I coach? I said, how you doing with your faith? Sometimes they say good, and sometimes they say not so good. I say, what grade would you give yourself today? And they'll tell me and kind of get me discouraged. But they'll tell me, well, I think I'll make about such and such on that. I said, okay. All right, what about the next one, the hope that spurs you on? Are you spurred on? Are you excited about the future? Can you not hardly wait for the next opportunity? Well, that's hope. You're optimistic about the future. And about dying too. Yeah. If you got hope, you... Just like I am, I'm ready to go or ready to stay. Either one. Amen. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You can't lose with that. Yeah. So, it gets better as we go. Listen, faith, hope, and love. How are you doing on hope? What kind of grades you make on love? I mean loving everybody. Can you love everybody? Amen. If you can't, you need to get to confessing. Because you can't be right with God and wrong with others. That's the short way to put it. All right, let's go on. Because of the hope in the word of, let me see. He says, since I heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, in the gospel. You knew I was going to get the gospel in there. Amen. He said, you've already heard the gospel through Epaphras. You've heard the gospel. What is the gospel? It's good news about Jesus. What's the good news about Jesus? He paid your debt. He took upon himself all of your sins, and he paid the debt for it and gave you his righteousness.
That's right.
That is good news. And he said, you heard it from a guy by name Epaphras. The gospel that says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah, the same gospel that says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved.
Amen.
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 I like that scripture too in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation.
Yes.
The old things pass away and all things become new. He said he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
You know what? I just looked out there and I was planning to say something I didn't say, so I'll just do it now. I was going to brag on Jeff and his wife for going to Honduras.
Amen.
And now then, James is going. Well, that's progress, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's more men ought to be going down there to Honduras and being a missionary for Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys.
Yes.
I hope others will join in. But he goes on to talk about the gospel of Jesus. What a wonderful God, this guy Epaphras is. Epaphras. I think, I'm surprised how many people never heard of him. Of course, they've read Colossians, but they just skip over hard names. And I'm still not sure I'm pronouncing it right, but it's a good shot at it. Epaphras. Paul was writing to a church that he had never seen. He didn't know anybody there except Epaphras. Epaphras probably was saved at Ephesus while Paul was pastor there. And while he was pastor there, he got saved and he went home, and it rubbed off on him. It roughed off of him onto them, and they got a church started down there. Now, he didn't necessarily plan it. He just lived it.
Thank you.
And they wound up with 3 churches down there. Old Epaphras. Nobody ever heard of him. Probably introvert. She said probably so. So there's 3 things Paul says about Epaphras. He says in the 7th verse, he was a fellow servant. Paul said, I see myself as a servant. I see Epaphras as a servant. Yeah. That's who Epaphras is. He's a servant. I really got to see what a servant was down at the retreat last year. Tim had already told me, said, I'm going to be your wingman. Well, I didn't know exactly what that was, but I thought I did. I said, okay, be fine. So when we got down there, we had to travel from our dormitory all the way to the restaurant, and it was longer than I wanted to walk. And so Bill was the first one there, Bill Allen. Now, there's a servant for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right there.
So true.
Bill Allen. Well, Bill would drive us down there. And then when I got out of the car, who was it that got me out of the car? Well, anyway, one guy got me out of the car, but I remember Tim was always standing at the door, said, grab my arm. And that was so welcome because I needed it. Because I fell down there one day. I mean, I sprawled out on the floor because I got hung behind a chair. But they just treated me like a general, I guess. I've never been treated like one before. But anyway, they were just so glad to serve me. I want to be a servant of Jesus.
Yes.
Paul was. James and John had a different idea. They thought, we'd like to be on the right hand and on the left. Jesus said, the one who's servant of all will be head of all.
Right.
Yeah. We need a lot of those. I want to ask you something, men. Does your wife see you serving your children? Do they see you serving your wife? What are they seeing about a future home? They ought to be seeing it from Daddy.
Yep.
From the leader. From the one who was assigned that. Yeah. So, whatever you've been doing, if you need to change it, this would be a good time to do it.
Amen.
For your wife and for your children. The second thing Paul said was, he says, I want you to be a fellow minister.
Yeah.
Fellow minister on our behalf, is what he said. Be a fellow minister on our behalf.
Yeah.
So evidently, Paul felt free since he won him to the Lord. He was his son in the ministry. And he said, I want you to go to Rome and be with Paul while he's in prison over there, because he's going to be lonely and I want you to be there with him. And okay, I'll go. So he goes over there and he winds up in prison with Paul. Now, we don't know whether or not he was actually arrested or just stayed with him while he was chained to these soldiers. But he just liable to try to talk about Jesus and get locked up himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you do that?
Amen.
Yeah. I like fellow servant. And then the fellow minister, doing it in our behalf. Yeah, I thought I had this in here. I had this in my notes, missions. All right, I never got you guys. Boy. But in Philippians, it tells that whole story about him being in prison. So I'm not going to get into that today. You'd appreciate that because that'll help me to get out more on time. Okay. So I'm going to go to the last one. That's fella servant. No, I've already been there. Y'all think I'm losing it, but I'm good. It's fellow worker. He says, I want you to know that this guy is working hard for you. Man, he came over here and got in prison. He came over here and he's in the same shape I am. And he says, I want you to appreciate him.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, you really need to appreciate him. He's working hard on your behalf and my behalf.
Yeah.
So be good to him.
Yeah.
And then he said something that really does touch me. He says he's wrestling in prayer with you, for you. That means he was putting out effort.
Yeah.
He's pouring out his heart. He really did care. He cared. So what do you do when you care? You pray.
That's good.
Oh, more than anything else, you pray. And that's when God moved, called upon me. And I'll show you mighty things. He will. Let me give you testimony that through the years, God has borne so many miracles in my life. I'm stopping to see if there's any other thing I wanted to tell you. Because I'm about to close out, see. And I don't want to leave one thing unsaid. I prayed for my sister. She lost her husband about 3 or 4 months now. And he was her protector, her leader. There for every need. And I was concerned about her when she'd be left alone. She's only, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of her life, I forget. But she's younger than I am, she had been taking care of him for quite a while. And she was run down physically. So I called her pretty often. I try to call her at least once a week. And I shouldn't say never, I guess I've missed some, but I've never, mostly I pray for her. And she's always loved the Bible. And she would want to know what I'm reading and I'll tell her a few things and she'll jot it down. And then she would run and read it and call me back and say, oh, have you got any more scripture? Yeah, you got any more like that? And she did that to me even last week. See? After I'd given her prayers and scriptures, she says, oh, also, I want you to pray for me again. She can truthfully say, I'm wrestling in prayer. She always wants to know how Dudley's doing, how my children's doing, but she mostly knows what you need. Yeah. How do I need to pray for you? Yeah, I think I know what praying and wrestling in prayer means. Jim Beck and Bill Allen and I been meeting every Sunday morning. We wrestle.
Thank you.
In prayer for y'all.
Thank you.
I keep thinking other men will join us and women. We've had women to join us some, but you're welcome.
Yeah.
You act like we cut off the invitation. We didn't. Oh, how we'd love to have. There's nothing more precious than a praying woman.
Amen.
Making her what her husband wants to be in. Desires to be. Man, would you take the test? How am I doing with faith, hope, and love? How am I doing with being a servant? Being a minister? Or working hard for the group? Thank you. God bless you.